Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, April 4th. We are glad you are here. We got a lot to talk about today. We got AEW Dynasty predictions. We got WWE being back in the United States after a three-week European tour. We're going to talk
about... Yeah, that's enough, right?
We're going to talk about Rusev, a.k.a. the Bulgarian Brute, coming back to the WWE. We got a lot to talk about, but as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I tried to do a 24-hour fast, and I ruined it with a banana and a tablespoon of honey.
Banana.
Banana. Yeah, this is not for everyone, by the way. I know that I used to, you know, straight up forget to eat when I was younger, and I gone for like 2 days without eating, and it's not for... I'm 36 years old. I cannot do this anymore. I need to have food. You know, especially when I, you know, have a job like this, when I need to lift heavy and be standing upright all the time. It's not for everyone. Sure. But we did have, you know, a week of wrestling, and the week isn't even over. And are you going to Raw next week?
I will be at Raw. Yes.
Yes. Are you excited about that?
I am. It looks like a fun show. So
it does. It does.
Plus, it's the next to last go home show. So I'm hoping. I'm thinking it'll probably be a pretty good show. I would think, or I'd hope so, anyways.
You'll see El Grande Americano.
Yeah. Very. I don't always get to see like a new like wrestler like so soon after they debut, so I'm very excited about this.
I'm so excited for you. I mean, I know that you wanted to see Chad Gable wrestle, but he does have a doctor's note, and he screwed himself over.
That's important.
Yes. But, you know, the second best, El Grande Americano.
Yeah.
That's so stupid, man. That is the stupidest thing ever. But guys, hi. We're here to talk about wrestling. We have awesome predictions for you in just a bit. But because you're here, thank you so much for joining us. Please leave us a thumbs up on the video. It is the easiest way to support us. It's also free. Please subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful. And please follow Fightful on all the social media, on Facebook, on TikTok, and on Instagram. Please subscribe to this very channel, Fightful Overbooked. Please subscribe to Fightful Select, the easiest $6 in the business, $5.99, if I have to be honest. A lot of contract news, a lot of scoops before, after pay-per-views, questions from you know, and Q&A's from Sean, scoops from Corey Brennan for NXT shows and everything. And last but definitely not least, please send a super chat. It's, you know, tap the little dollar sign at the bottom of the YouTube live chat. Any amount will get your question or statement read live on the air. You can also send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com if you're watching on any other platform, or if you're watching here on YouTube, but you just wanted to make us keep a little bit more of the money. It is, again, we appreciate you a ton. I'm going to remind you in and out of the show to leave a like on the video. So might as well do it now because I will be nagging. Thank you so much. So we can get into that.
All right. So yeah, we're going to do AEW Dynasty predictions taking place tomorrow night at the, Sunday, April 6th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Leah Cora Center. So a big show planned in Philly. I didn't take pictures or take photos from all the matches, so I'm just going to read them as they have them here. But as far as some of the matches, which match are you looking forward to the most, Maggie?
Oh, the three-way. The Ricochet, Ospreay, and Kenny Omega. This is easily match of the night. I did the predictions on the True Heel Heat channel before our show. I mentioned this on there as well. I know that we're so in love with nostalgia, and when you think about a three-way match, you think Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, and AJ Styles at TNA. And this is the match to beat, correct? I think because we're old and we're so in love with this match, I don't think that anything will ever be able to beat this match in our minds when it comes to in-ring chemistry and storytelling. But I feel like the thing that we can do is we can pick a second best. And this has the opportunity to be just as good as the original three-way match from TNA. I do hope that someday we get to have... Well, hi.
Yeah, Tiggy wants to send the show, I guess.
Hi.
All right, hey, big cat. Come on.
My goodness.
Say hello.
Everyone send us your money for the
kitty. Yeah, the kitty. Goes towards her snacks that she doesn't
I'm
need.
I'm just kidding. yeah, so I do feel like this has the opportunity to beat this match, but I could never be 100% sure. Fingers crossed. What match are you most looking forward to?
I mean, this match is going to be really good, but I think the main event, Swerve versus Moxley, is what I'm looking forward to the most.
Okay, you're gonna tell me why when we get to the match.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Are you excited for the pay-per-view, by the way?
I am. It looks like a great card. I mean, there's a lot of matches, which is typical for AEW, which you get your money's worth.
10. There's 10 matches.
Yeah, and well, there's going to be 0-hour matches too, right?
But we never count those. I know. We do count those, but like these are, you know, officially they have 10 matches. You know, the matches that we still, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it. There's a couple of matches that I think could be really good. I'm actually very curious to see how this AEW TNT Championship goes, the no time limit, no outside interference match.
Yeah.
Kind of curious about that. And then I think, obviously, you know, Kenny Omega, Ricochet, Bayley's going to kick all kinds of ass, but I'll be perfectly honest, Ospreay versus Kevin Knight just...
Oh, that is
might,
right up
that
there,
might be
man.
My second match, I'm like...
Right up there.
From a story standpoint, I'm looking forward to the Swerve aspect, Swerve, Strickland, and Moxley from a story standpoint, but from an actual in-ring, I'm actually looking forward to Ospreay, Kevin Knight more than I am Omega, Knight, and Bayley, because I just don't know how... all three of those guys are amazing talents by all means, and this is a dream match where a lot of people, myself included, I just don't know how a triple threat match with that great of talent, and then, if there's three guys that know how to do it, it's going to be those three guys. So, there's just so many matches on this card that just look really good. So, but
it's just I want to see the dynamic between Speedball Mike Bailey and Kenny Omega so much. Also, of course, you know who I'm always going to be looking forward to, Will Ospreay match. Obviously. Yeah. But at this point, I've gotten to the point when where I value each and every match that Kenny Omega has from this point forward. That's it. And I'm kind of sad about that.
No, I get it. I mean, it's understandable that you would want each you'd want each match to, like, anytime you get to see Kenny Omega, you take
it's special.
Advantage of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. She had to get comfortable, I guess. But I got it. Okay. Well,
was that Tiggy?
That's Tiggy. Anyways, let's go ahead and get started. Jesus. Okay. Ow. Yeah. Bye. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, she left. That was her. I didn't drop her. She just wanted to go. Anyways, before we go to the matches, we do have a super chat. Ryan Sullivan, thank you very much. He says, if you two were realtors, you could be co-listing. Thank you.
I don't understand this.
A realtor is basically people who help sell your home.
Oh, realtor. Okay.
Or business, like office, stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah,
co-listing.
Realtor. Yeah. Yeah. Co-listing. Realtor. So, yeah. Yeah. Thanks. I don't
Thank
even
you,
think they
Ryan,
have those in Bulgaria.
Sweetie.
So. But not fun.
Sadly.
SP3 says Maggie is the best. Just want to say that she didn't rank this match on the level of how many panties, on True Hill Heat, though. LMAO.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make it special. I'm just going to make it special. I'm going to leave that.
Oh, gotcha.
No, I'm just going to leave that for Kenny and Okada.
Oh, okay.
The wet panties thingy.
Okay.
And not from an in-ring point, but from a history point.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll take your...
I want to make this clear, because I don't think that Kenny and Okada can have as great of a match as any of the previous ones that they had. It's done. We've seen that. Yeah. They could never have that.
The thing is, something I've learned a long time ago with Kenny Omega, never say never. I'm just saying it. Like,
well,
do
this
I think
is me.
I don't, but.
This is me throwing out a challenge into the universe.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yes.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, they could never. Outdo any of the previous matches that they've had.
Okay.
You know? Okay. Let me be so obvious. Thank you, sweetie, SP3, for having me on. I adore being on a True Heel Heat channel.
Yeah, they're good people. All right. Let's go ahead and get started with our first match here. AEW World Tag Team Championship match, the Hurt Syndicate's Bobby Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin. Taking on the Learning Tree, Big Bill and Brian Keith. Maggie. You know.
This match kind of sucks. Because it wasn't supposed to be Big Bill and Keith Lee. It was supposed to be.
Sorry, did I say Keith Lee or did you say Keith Lee? I don't think I said Keith Lee.
Big Bill and Keith.
Brian Keith. Did I say
Brian
Keith Lee?
Keith. No, I said
okay.
Keith Lee. I'm
okay.
So sorry.
Well, I was like.
Sorry, guys.
I wish it was Keith Lee. I mean, don't get me
wish
wrong.
I love
Brian Keith. I love Brian Keith. He's a hell of a wrestler, but
yes.
I'd be cool.
It wasn't supposed to be Big Bill and Brian Keith. It was supposed to be Archer and Brian Cage. But yes. So from here on now, we know that the Hurt Syndicate are retaining. But for... I think that MJF will hear me out, because there was a segment between MJF and Bobby Lashley in MVP, because Shelton Benjamin had travel issues. and he couldn't be on Dynamite this past week. So MJF mentioned that he loved Shelton Benjamin, because of course you do, everyone does. And he wanted to do business with the Hurt Syndicate. He said that he could help them hold on to the tag team titles, and they in return could help him get back his championship, and that's good business. And Bobby Lashley, of course, said no. He said that the Hurt Syndicate does not need MJF at all. So MJF, he said that, of course, okay, I'm gonna prove myself to you then. And I suppose this is what I mentioned on the predictions with at the True Heel Heat channel. I think that MJF will take credit for them retaining those championships. I mean, he'll think that he did something, but it had zero, you know, to do with the outcome of the match. With or without him, the match would still be the same, and Hurt Syndicate would still retain. I will never say no to watching Shelton Benjamin wrestle. I will never take that for granted. Hurt Syndicate retaining with MJF ringside, just so they can further that storyline. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think that Hurt Syndicate retains. I wonder, there's a part of me, because it's MJF.
Don't say Jeff Jarrett.
No, there's always a part of me that thinks that MJF will turn on whoever he's working with, obviously. You know, sure. It's kind of like when Randy Orton's in a tag team match, you're just expecting it by now, you know? So part of me thinks that it wouldn't shock me if we see MJF cost the Hurt Syndicate the tag team titles. However, sure. I do think that MJF will indeed help the Hurt Syndicate retain their titles this week.
Awesome.
There's that.
I can see your thing happening too, but
yeah.
Hi, guys!
Chris Jericho is also on this card. Maggie's pretty excited about that, as Mr. Chris Jericho defends his world title, Ring of Honor world title, against Bandido title versus Mask. It was Bandido? I thought it was...
No, it's Bandido.
It is? Okay. Man. So yeah, I think Bandido wins the title. There you go.
Hopefully, yes. Otherwise, this match can suck a bag of dicks. I hate this match. Why is this match on this card? They have a Ring of Honor pay-per-view right around the corner. Why isn't this there? And God damn it, man.
This is a good point. Bren makes a good point. No way Big Bill and Brian Keith win, especially after how bad MVP destroyed Big Bill in that promo segment on Collision a week or so ago.
I want to forget about that segment.
Yeah.
I really do. Because what the hell was that? Thank you, sweetie, for reminding me about it. Oh, we love you, by the way. Keep cooking food. Because I'm so hungry.
He's excited for Rey Fénix tonight. He also mentions Kevin Owens is injured.
Kevin Owens is injured. I saw that right before our show. Such a huge-ass bummer, and his WrestleMania plans are all up in the air right now because of that injury. Yes, Rey Fénix. I totally missed that vignette, by the way. Last week when I watched SmackDown, I am excited about Rey Fénix. I'm excited to see what... luchadors like Penta and Rey Fénix do in WWE when Vince isn't there.
Curious on the Kevin Owens report. Where did that come from? You know?
I saw...
Like I
no, it's not. It's not Fightful. That's a good question. Meltzer? Maybe it was. Maybe it was called Holic. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe it was them, but from a different source. They credited the source.
Okay, so
after
it looks
that.
Like it was Meltzer. I think that said, or maybe I don't know. Hell, you can never tell. Like sometimes with these aggregators, and I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes aggregators do really well, but sometimes it's just like Jesus. But anyways, we'll get back to AEW. Anyways, so. Yeah, I want Bandido to get this victory. And I think that's where they're headed.
I hope so, but again, why is... I'm not happy with the fact that this match is on the pay-per-view. Ring of Honor has amazing, like, Supercard of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, like, huge... Ring of Honor
Pro
pay-per-views.
Nexus is the one who I think that's a PWN's Pro Wrestling Nexus, and Observer is reporting it via them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know Owens is supposed to be on SmackDown tonight, so we'll see what happens there. I believe I saw that. Anyways, WWE.com has not done a really good job with their promoting SmackDown for a 3-hour show. Which is still needs to go back to 2 hours, but that's a whole different topic.
It should go back to fucking 2 hours, man. It should.
All right, we move on to our next match. Well, let's go ahead and the Men's Owen Hart Cup tournament. They did announce that this past week on Dynamite, and they're kicking it off with some matches on the actual pay-per-view card. It looks really good, obviously. This week, we will see... This is the card right here. Will Ospreay taking on Kevin Knight. Also on the card is Brody King taking on Takeshita. Then you have Hangman Adam Page taking on a wild card. And then Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe. So tomorrow, we will see... Or, excuse me, I keep saying tomorrow. I'm so used to Saturday pay-per-views now. On Sunday, we will see Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight, Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher...
Yes. That's
yeah.
It.
And they haven't announced Takeshita. Did they announce that for?
No.
No, they haven't announced that for Dynamite next week.
Kyle Fletcher are the only matches that we're getting from the Owen.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the first two men's matches on the Owen, then we'll go into the women's Owen Hart Cup tournament bracket and match that they have. So let's go ahead and just start with Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher. I like both these guys, but there's no way in hell they let Kyle Fletcher lose this match. I don't see it. What do you think, Maggie?
I'm also going to bet on Kyle Fletcher, but in my eyes, his loss to Mark Briscoe on the C2 during the C2 was the weirdest thing that they could have ever done. Because there was no payout to this. But hear me out. I initially have zero interest in seeing Mark Briscoe continue forward in the Owen. But on the other hand, Don Callis's people from, you know, the family have been losing a lot. And he was kind of pissed off after Revolution when Kyle Fletcher lost to Will Ospreay, and he was so giddy backstage as if nothing happened. Don Callis was a bit pissed off, having in mind that Takeshita lost and Lance Archer lost this past week to Brody King. There's a story inside of this that the family members are losing. Also, Mark Davis is again injured, which is such a big bummer, man. A speedy recovery to Mark Davis. So this is a This is a story that they can tell. But I'm still going to put my money on to Kyle Fletcher winning this match.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't see him losing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I wasn't going to go into this next one like for because it's not on the card, but Soupy makes a great call here. I know you won't like it, but it makes sense here. Hangman versus Jeff Jarrett in the first round. Hangman was Jarrett's wild card last year, so it's reversed this year. I could actually see this. I know you don't like that, but I could see
you guys happening. Are dickheads, all of you. Stop it.
So basically,
stop wishing for stupid things to happen. It's also not Darby because he's climbing Mount Everest on the 15th. So calm your tits, everyone, please.
So basically,
or I will tell Tony Storm.
You're saying Soupy basically made the
sacrifice, 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 sacrifice.
But I know you don't like that idea, but I could actually see that happening. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
You suck a bag of dicks too.
I've been told a lot worse, so that's okay.
Okay. Anyways. Let's
I said I've been told to do a lot worse.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Forget I said it.
Anyways, yeah, we both have Kyle Fletcher winning here.
Yes.
We move on to Bill Ospreay taking on Kevin Knight. I love doing that. Bill Ospreay. It's short for William. So there you go. But Bill Ospreay taking on Kevin Knight in an AEW ring for the very first time. They teamed up this past week on AEW Dynamite, but we will see them take each other one-on-one. This match is going to be fire. In the words of Beavis and Butthead, fire. This is one of those matches where I want both men to win, but only one can win, and his name's Will Ospreay.
Yes.
And yeah, this is probably the easiest match of the night for me to call.
No, Mercedes and Julia.
Oh,
is way
sorry.
Easier
yeah,
than
that,
that.
Okay. This is the second easiest match in my opinion to call.
Yes. I'm so looking forward to this match. Will Ospreay was Kevin Knight's biggest cheerleader this past week. It was so fun. It's just I feel like this match should open the show because I love all the Dynamites that Will Ospreay opened the show because people were so hyped right from the get-go, from the beginning of the card. So yes, please make this match the opener. It is going to be such an amazing humper. And I pick Will Ospreay, obviously. But this is going to be a showing for Kevin Knight. Corey mentioned this in the True Heel Heat chat. Yes, of course, we all know that Will Ospreay is winning. But this will be a way to present Kevin Knight for everyone watching, the pay-per-view. And what amazing confidence must they have to just straight out the second match or third match. The second singles match that he has is on a pay-per-view against their top guy. This is incredible confidence in Kevin Knight. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be good times. So,
what's a taquito?
A taquito? It is.
Is this a taco with taquito? No. Fucking.
Well, taquito is basically it's a tortilla rolled up. It's basically a rolled up taco, is the way I look at it.
Burrito?
No, just a rolled up taco, like in a tortilla. Here, the easiest way to explain it is just show you a damn picture because now I'm hungry as hell. So I appreciate that.
I'm always hungry.
Well, yeah, it's just basically a wrap. It's a fried, it's a fried taco. Basically, just the tortilla is fried and it's wrapped. It'll just be easier if I show you.
Okay,
I can't.
I'm sorry. You said the word. I need to say it.
What?
Is it wrapped in plastic?
No.
Damn it. No. It's Twin Peaks, damn it.
Oh,
God. It's a Twin Peaks reference. She's dead. Wrapped in plastic.
I was confused for, as you could tell, for very good.
Everyone, please watch Twin Peaks. While Rob is searching for a picture of a taquito or anything, this is my friendly reminder for everyone to please watch Twin Peaks. This looks absolutely amazing. So this is basically beef wrapped in a tequila. Yeah, tortilla. And this is guacamole, right?
Yeah, that's guacamole. I mean, you can use guacamole.
No. I want to use guacamole.
Oh, guacamole is what I would use too. But yeah, basically you could do chicken, you could do beef, cheese.
Okay, whatever. Stop. Okay, remove this out of the way because I'm so fucking...
Here.
No.
Let's get...
No. You will hear my stomach growling.
There you go. Taco.
Like a spread. Yeah. Thank you, Peggy. This was what I needed.
It could be beef,
if you never...
Or seafood.
Okay. See, ew. Seafood, no.
They also do, like, pizza ones, too. Like at gas stations around here.
Pizza or, what?
Like, they're pretty much... They're the same as taquitos, basically.
What is the same as taquitos?
Like, the they'll make pizza, like, flavored ones.
How do you make a pizza-flavored taquito?
Well, they put, like, pepperoni and cheese and... Like,
and that's it.
and I assume, like, well, Italian sauce is in there, I'm too sure.
Okay.
It's
still have no idea what a pizza roll is, so...
Okay, now we get... Jesus, man. No, we got
I'm so hungry, Rob. Please don't show me food.
What? Yeah. So... We're just going to change our name to Co-Food.
Yes, please. We're going to have Brian and Chris as guests every week.
This is definitely our weirdest prediction show because I'm not staying focused at all.
Yes, thank you. I thought I was the only one noticing that.
Yeah, not today's a bad day. Like when it comes to my attention span for once on this.
When it comes to food. Everyone will get distracted. So let's move on.
Yeah, but I've kind of been like going off on different things here. It's just a different vibe today. Anyways, we both have Bill winning here.
Willie. Yes, William.
So we go on to the women's one. This Owen Hart tournament match. The one that we will see on Dynasty is Julia Hart taking on Mercedes Moné, but also announced for this show or for the Foundation Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament. Easy for me to say. The bracket includes Harley Cameron taking on Athena. You have Thunder Rosa taking on Chris Statlander and Billy Starks taking on Jamie Hayter.
Yes, but the match that we get tonight is Julia Hart versus Mercedes Moné. Yes, yes. Yeah. Not tomorrow, Sunday, correct. That's
Mercedes,
correct. Mercedes wins. Because this is the first match that they will have against each other. I'm anxious to see what the chemistry is there. That's it.
Yeah. But Mercedes wins. Let's move on. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. I think Athena wins the tournament. That's my opinion.
Okay, we can make some predictions here if you want, because
Harley Cameron should win the thing, but whatever.
She should, but she's not gonna. So. A point can be made out of Mercedes Moné winning via disqualification against Athena, because we will absolutely sure that we will be getting this in the semifinal. And Mercedes Moné goes to goes to the finals. She faces Jamie Hayter. And Athena costs her the match. And Jamie Hayter wins the Owen. This can happen, but I also would like some clean wins in, you know, tournaments such as this. But, you know, there you have it.
Yeah, this would actually be pretty cool. Billy versus Athena for the finals. That would that'd actually kind of rule.
Yeah.
Anyways, we move on to our next match. And that will be none other than the AEW TNT Championship. No time limit, no outside interference. Daniel Garcia defending his title against Adam Cole, baby. Adam Cole needs this title.
Oh, hell yes, he does.
Daniel Garcia hasn't done a thing with it.
No, he hasn't. This was previously discussed. The two true TNT champions are Miro and Christian Cage. None of the other reigns have mattered whatsoever. I can make a point out of Cody for making the TNT Championship Open Challenge. And this was a fun way for us to get introduced to indie talents. Thank you so much. And we got Warhorse, we got Eddie Kingston. Thank you. And that's about it. Just bring back the TNT Open Challenge. And I hope this is the last time I get to see to say this, but please let the TNT Championship change hands and do something with it. Give it to Adam Cole. It's time he has a singles championship anyway. The stupid thing is, if Adam Cole loses, he does have a future in the trios division with Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. But if Daniel Garcia loses, I don't know what his trajectory is.
Yeah.
That's the stupid thing. And I do want Adam Cole to win. And I'm saying this with all the love for Daniel Garcia. Him and Kyle Fletcher for me are the future for AEW. Everyone lost their minds when Daniel Garcia won the championship. And the truth is, he hasn't done quite anything with it since winning it. So it's kind of a bummer. But they haven't been caring so much about the TNT Championship anyway, which is kind of lame. Having in mind that the AEW Championship is non-existent right now in a briefcase. You could have done a lot with that TNT Championship, but you didn't. So there.
So we already did the Ring of Honor Championship, didn't we? Or did we not?
Yes, we did.
Okay. We both think Bandido? Or...
Yes, we picked Bandido.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. We move on to the AEW World Trios Championship match. Death Riders with taking on Rated FTR. It's been very interesting storytelling with FTR and Cope in the past couple of weeks. What do you make of this, and who do you have winning?
So this has a lot of potential, Rob. So we had so this past collision, Dax put his hands on Paul Turner, the referee.
Paul Turner.
Yes. Security tried to stop him, and then Cash Wheeler came out and tried to stop him. So Dash pushed Cash away, thinking that he was security. So what he did during this last week's Dynamite was he gave Paul Turner $10,000 to take his wife out to dinner. What is this dinner? And Paul was like, oh, thank you. And then he left. What? Okay.
Yeah. Where was the back? Something nice for your family, but
yes, but what the fuck? Where was the back and forth? Oh no, I cannot possibly keep this. Yeah. No, he said thank you and left the screen. So
I would let somebody push me down for $10,000. I'll say that right now.
Yes, I will also let someone push you for I will also let someone push me for 10K. Are you kidding? So the funny thing would be if this is an actual bribe and Paul Turner counts fast the three and, you know, gives him the trios belts. But this but this isn't the thing. So Dex said that nothing in such small significance can get between FTR. And he went for the hug. And Cash Wheeler stopped him and he said, we'll be fine on Sunday at Dynasty, but after that, we need to talk. So a lot of things can happen. This can be a ruse. And at the end, just let me get this out of the way. Death Riders retain the Trios Championships. Death Riders retain. And at the end of the match, FTR give... turn on Copeland and give him the big rig or whatever they were calling it. I forgot what they were. And
Shatter Machine.
But like they call it the big rig after.
Yeah, big rig. Yeah. No, I know.
It's definitely a Shatter Machine, but they what happened to calling it the big rig? So, but for me, what would happen would be Dex gets pinned and he pushes Cash Wheeler for the second time, and it's absolutely by accident, but it will create deeper friction between FTR. And then later on, they can turn on Copeland just so we can get to FTR versus Adam Copeland and Christian at All In. I'm most definitely sure that this is where we're heading. But yeah, this is what I think happens. Deeper frustration.
Christian. I wonder how they get to that point with Christian and Copeland.
Well, that's up to them. I mean, whatever the suggestion I make, no one will listen anyway, because they would much rather me listening to a press call with Tony Khan before Dynasty with him answering zero questions. I'm so fucking frustrated, man. You gotta be fucking kidding me. This is the last time I ever listen to a call from Tony Khan before a pay-per-view, because he goes so much deep into promo mode that, like, are you kidding? Do you even remember the question that you got asked? And I don't know if Tony Khan knows this, but I cannot comment on this is a really legitimate answer.
Yeah.
Extremely legitimate. I cannot comment at this point is also a legitimate answer. No one will give you crap for that. But instead of that, he just flat out starts reciting, you know, AEW history. What are we doing here? Just move the fuck on, please.
I get it. I think Death Riders retain. Curious to see how they go this route with FTR, and I do think we will see FTR versus Edge and Christian, or Copeland and Christian down the road, at maybe All In, on the road to All In. I don't know. I'm just more curious to see how they do it. I think it would be wise to pull the trigger on the heel turn this weekend if they do it.
Okay.
That way they can start building. They have, 4 months to do it? 3 months? So.
Exactly. What the hell are you going to do for 3 months?
Yeah. So, there's that. So, we both have Death Riders retaining. Let's move on to our next one. The AEW Women's Championship. Toni Storm defending her title against Mrs. Megan Bain.
This is probably one of the hardest matches to predict. Because on one hand, I want Toni Storm to retain the championship. But on the other hand, it's too early to give Megan Bain a loss after you built her so much to the top.
Yeah.
That is it. And it's kind of frustrating. I'm still going to pick Toni Storm here. But what do you do with Megan? Because everything that they did with Megan Bain so far was good. And they built her up as opposed to other women from the roster. And the only thing I can do is, what I can think of is afterwards, her beating the crap out of one of the women in the Owen Hart tournament and taking her place. Because logic. And then she ends up winning, you know, the tournament and everything. But I would hate that too. But so I don't know. I'm going to pick Toni Storm here. What is your logic when it comes to this match?
I kind of see where your point is on this. But if anything, I kind of wonder if the best way to do it is to continue to make Megan Bain look unstoppable, have her beat Toni Storm, and maybe, I don't know, I was going to say maybe Forbidden Door, but you wouldn't want that to be a match. I wouldn't think you'd want, I think you'd want to enter a promotional match, if anything. This is a very hard one to decide for, but I think I'm going to go with Toni, and I see a lot of people in chat think that Penelope Ford will accidentally cost Megan Bain, and that's a good way to help protect Megan Bain, even though I don't really care for that, but it is a way to do it. Scott George says, Megan wins, keep her hot, so... I mean, I could see that too. I mean, this one's tough, but I think they're going to keep the title on Toni Storm.
Yes, this is what I also think. I see Bonkers is in the chat. Bonkers, what did you think of Liverpool and Everton from 2 days ago? I think you guys got robbed. This was a fucking travesty with the goalie. Like, I'm so sorry. This was laughable, a laughable decision by the referee. This was absolutely appalling.
Ryan Sullivan was bonkers.
Ryan, you don't even know what I'm talking about. We're talking about legitimate football here. Not crappy American football. We're talking about football. Thank you. Thank you.
Who do you think gets drafted first, Maggie? In the NFL draft. Are you excited for it?
I'm so excited about it.
It's probably going to be Cam Ward. Anyways, I know you're a big fan of his.
Yes, but I know who that is.
I know. You know. We will move on. So we both have Toni Storm. I have Toni Storm.
Yes.
You have Toni Storm. We will storm together and come up with our next match here.
Okay.
Yeah. AEW International Championship. Kenneth Omega taking on Michael Bailey and Rick O'Shea.
Michael Bailey.
Yeah,
that sounds wrong.
I know. It's great. But. Yeah.
So tell me your thoughts about this match.
Well, I mean, the biggest rumor right now is that merge the international title with the Okada hold right now? What title?
The Continental title.
Yeah. There's rumors that they're going to merge those titles, right? Like they're going to have a...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, so I think
Omega Continental title.
Yeah, I think we're going to see, Continental title. I think we're going to see Okada versus Omega at All In. So I think Omega holds on here. So that's why.
Again, I can't wait for the dynamic that Bayley and Omega will bring into this match. While I was listening to Mike Bayley talk to our friend Chris Mueller, he mentioned that Kenny Omega was the person that he was most looking forward to facing in AEW. And of course, right from the get-go, he gets to face him again. It's a triple threat, not a one-on-one match, which I hope we do get to see in the future. But again, I will never take for granted any match that Kenny Omega has. I'm looking forward to this because, duh, it's Kenny Omega, and I want to see him facing Mike Bayley. But I do feel like the unsung hero for this match will be Ricochet. A lot of people are calling for Samantha to be his announcer. And I think that I'm pretty sure that this would work. Sadly, I think that Ricochet would be the one to eat the pin from Kenny Omega. I do predict Kenny Omega retains. I don't know what he does for Double or Nothing, but I do think that they're doing Omega and Okada at All In for the combination of the two championships. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Omega wins. We both got Omega here. Yes. Yeah, and this is a good opportunity to promote that. Speedball had a great interview with Phil and Righteous Reg with Grapsity. That was really good.
I'm absolutely sure that I will catch up with the interview. I will.
Yeah, 20-minute interview, not too long. Yeah, pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now I think we made it to main event time. Swerve when he drives, Swerve Strickland challenging John Moxley for the title we have not seen in what feels like a year. Yeah.
It's about damn time that Moxley just flat out confesses that he went to the same steakhouse Chris Jericho went and just lost the title.
Well played.
And he's been lying to us and everything, and just has to be a bit. It's stupid.
Yep. Yeah.
So tell me about this match.
I think it's going to be pretty good. That's what I think. I just don't see Moxley retaining. I just don't see it. I think you have to go with Swerve. I mean, he's people want that. It's needed. It's the way to go, because I think the All In, and I know a lot of us are skipping Double or Nothing, I know that, but I think we're getting Hangman versus Swerve at All In. That's where I think this is headed. The ending of Dynamite this past week was very interesting, and that kind of plays into my point of the main event, because we saw Hangman confront Swerve, saying that he will never let him get that title again. He promised that he wouldn't let him get that title again, and then they get pretty close. They start yelling at each other, and Swerve says, "You need to let it go," and Hangman says, "You broke into my house," and then Swerve says, "You burned down my house," and then Hangman says, "You deserved it," and then what shocked almost everybody was Swerve saying, "I know," and then you had Hangman say, "What?" Like,
he said, "What did you say to me?"
Yeah, and there you go. And then that was very interesting, very cool. I liked it. It made you like, ooh, there's some drama in the OBC, as I like to say. And then we got to see Swerve get thrown into some glass about a minute and a half later. So
have in mind that we had this awesome visual of a gruesome powerbomb on broken glass, and no one was talking about this because everyone was talking about a conversation between Hangman Page and Swerve. This is wrestling. This is wrestling. People, everyone talking about people having a confrontation backstage and not a horribly awesome looking powerbomb on glass. Not this. And the fact that after they threw Swerve on the broken glass, he just got up. They left the ring. They went into the audience being all cool Death Riders. And then he got up. He did the Undertaker, you know, thing. And he had that look in his face. It was like so
he's
good.
He's going to absolutely destroy his John Moxley at Dynasty. Is the look he had on his face.
So because of absolutely everything that you just said, you laid it out perfectly. I think that Hangman Adam Page comes out to help Swerve Strickland, but he accidentally costs him the match.
Oh. Okay. 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 Okie dokie, artichokey.
And this is me challenging the universe so that it can happen exactly the opposite way. That is it. Because here's the thing. I think that they could have gotten away with this, with the thing that I just said, if they had Toni Storm versus Mariah May main eventing Revolution. Because that finishing segment of Revolution took the air out of the entire, you know, arena. And I think that in my head, they listened to their fans, which is definitely the question that Tony Khan never answered Sean during that media call.
Yeah.
Just answer the damn question.
Yeah. I know.
Fucking stop listening to that media call right after that. I hope that they listen to everyone bitching about this. Again, the Death Riders is it's Bray Wyatt all over again. Seriously, I will never stop saying this. They had something so perfect in the Death Riders. They came out trying to murder Bryan Danielson, the person that everyone adored in their life. It was such a wonderful thing, and they had a gold mine, and they chopped off the head of the goose that was laying the golden eggs. This was so stupid, man. I hate it. They ruined the Death Riders, and they had a sure thing.
I know that he's not wrestling. I know that, but he never said we wouldn't see him again, obviously. Could you see Danielson helping Swerve?
I think it's too soon.
You think it's too soon so? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it will be incredibly awesome because, you know.
Yeah.
Because Bryan Danielson did beat Swerve for that championship.
He did. So.
Yes.
Yeah, so I have Swerve, you have Moxley.
Yes, but not because I want to.
Yeah, you're just doing it for the reverse psychology.
Yes.
Before we get going, we have another super chat. This one's from our good friend Just Ricardo. He says swerved Hanger and broke him.
He did break him. Hangman just said, what did you say? And then he stormed off. That entire audience was chanting cowboy shit just because they wanted Hangman to, because if they had Hangman return here, it wouldn't have been so powerful at the pay-per-view. And that's why I'm so sure that they're going to do it at the pay-per-view. I just wonder if they're going to make it a swerve and then Hangman accidentally costs Swerve the match. Because everyone, it's Swerve against Hangman at All In. Everyone keeps forgetting all the history between Moxley and Hangman.
Yeah.
Because of recency bias, because I do feel like Swerve and Hangman is the greatest AEW story of all time ever. And I totally understand that. And spoiler, I do feel like it's Hangman versus Will Ospreay at the finals of the Owen Hart at Double or Nothing. And I feel like Hangman should win this.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. All right.
Have Will Ospreay win the championship next year at All In when it's fucking back at London.
There you go. Okay. Well, that is our predictions for AEW Dynasty. Now we move on to... So today I'll be the Cooper Effect. It's a really good story.
It will make us cry. All the Cooper Effects raw picks makes us cry.
Well, hopefully not, but if it does, I'm sorry. But this story is about a pup, and I found this on Twitter. It's from Twitter user, I'm probably going to butcher the first name, but it's Niall, N-I-A-L-L. It might be Neil. I don't know if that's how he pronounces it or what. But N-I-A-L-L Harbison, H-A-R-B-I-S-O-N. So if you want to follow along or go follow his Twitter, you can. But basically what he tweeted out was... They found this dog. He goes, "We brought him in from the streets on a Friday. He was alone and terrified. Just a baby pup. Now I know if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see the photos. We know that. But obviously the dog's name is Shaggy. And
obviously,
you can tell by the picture, it's not the healthiest pup.
Yes.
Unfortunately. But the story gets better. They basically took care of the dog. At one time it was fighting for its life, and they built up trust like over the next few days with the dog, and this all took place in Thailand, and they worked on him, they took care of him, and they just did what they could, like, you know, how we always talk, how we love good storytelling, and they were playing catch, stuff like that, just trying to get them moving, and it worked. They got them moving, and they groomed them to make them look better, feel better, and I'm pulling up some of the more recent photos, but after it was all said and done, they do this for lots of dogs. It's just not just this one. And it's really cool when people just dedicate their time to saving or helping animals. And you'll see here in just a second, like, how great these people were and how they did for Shaggy here. Like, here's another photo. Like, this was the day they got Shaggy, and you can see how skinny, and they got it a little bit healthier, and then all of a sudden it's smiling and happy. It's been gaining its weight back, and it's just a good story overall of people putting in the time and effort to help a dog that they didn't own. They just found it in trouble. They took care of it on their own, and just want to give a shout out for them doing that, because we hear about those stories all the time, and occasionally when we catch it, we want to bring it to people's attention and say thank you, because as you guys know, we are big animals. We love animals on this.
We're big animals, yes.
Yeah, we're big animals. We're big animals. But no, I just wanted to share it. I know story-wise, I didn't do the best story, but it's kind of hard when you're using photos and for people that are listening.
You did great, Rob, yeah, because so. It's a really touching story. And shout out to everyone who rescues animals from the streets, nurse them back to health, and just take care of them. God bless all of you, man. This is, you know...
Chris, thank Mueller, you, sends Chris. A super chat. He says, "Puppy." So thank
yes,
you, Chris.
It is
we
puppy.
Appreciate you.
Chris does this wonderful thing. He sends me a lot of pictures and videos of a cat named Beatrix, the most beautiful cat I've ever seen. She's also a rescue. I'm going to tell you guys the story of this cat on another show, because I told Chris that I most definitely would like to make this kitty Beatrix Cooper effect in the near future. But we will have Chris on the show to present the Cooper effect himself. A wonderful, wonderful kitty.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our Cooper effect for this week. And we will move on. Before we do that, finally have a SmackDown preview of sorts.
Tonight.
They have announced that we will get another...
Oh my God, don't say Chelsea versus Mitchin. Please, do not say this.
Okay. Well, no, I shouldn't say another, but it's Braun Strowman taking on Jacob Fatu in the United States number one contenders match.
Is it a last man standing?
It does not say that.
Because
we also... Sorry?
Because Jacob Fatu said, when it comes to Braun Strowman, I will be the last man standing. And I'm like, is this a match?
Yeah, they don't have it on here as a last man standing, but it wouldn't surprise me if they change it. But you also have tonight the number one contenders match, Motor City Machine Guns taking on DIY. Yeah. CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns will be live on SmackDown. You also have B-Fab taking on Naomi. And the debut of Rey Fénix.
Fénix, yes. So, the way SmackDown finished last week was so good. They had the contract signing between Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk. And Seth Rollins told Roman that they accomplished their mission, but Roman was like, I keep hearing we, and it's only me. Like, I did that. I did everything. Seth accused him of shaking CM Punk's hand while what he was supposed to do was kill him. You know? And then CM Punk came out and started reading the contract, and Roman Reigns was like, hurry up, sign the contract. And Paul Heyman fell down to his knees, and he was like, whatever you're looking for in the contract, it's in there, you're main eventing. And then CM Punk started crying, and Paul Heyman hugged him, and it was so, so great. I turned up a bit. It was a really good segment. And then Seth Rollins was incredibly bitter. He said, no, you don't deserve this. You never deserve that. And confidentially, I kind of feel like Seth Rollins should win this match, but I'm probably in the minority here. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows I'm a huge mark for Seth Rollins. Everyone knows that. But I kind of feel like he's the one who deserves this win. I'm sorry. He deserves the win. Just give him the win. Please. Please. I don't think Seth Rollins ever main evented WrestleMania, and please don't tell me the one time he cashed in. We do not count that. Well, has he ever?
Last year's tag team match.
What tag team match?
The Cody and Seth versus Rock and Roman.
Oh, night one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, night one.
I don't know. I count that as a main event. I know some people.
Okay. That, yeah. That okay. I'm going to count that. Too. Yeah, sure. It's, but I completely forget about that all the time. Yeah. Well, yeah, because like he was facing Drew before that and he lost the championship, and then he was tagging. Oh, it was such a, he deserves all the flowers because he lost at WrestleMania both matches.
Yeah, and he was hurt too, so it's just a interesting pay-per-view weekend for him last year. But
yes, it was. So just to finish off the segment, and Punk said because Roman wanted Punk to thank his tribal chief for giving him the main event. And Punk did thank him. And he said, thank you for the main event, but this was not the favor that I wanted. And this even furthers the storyline, because what happened last time they were in the ring together, he told Paul Heyman, thank you for presenting your tribal chief on a silver platter to me. Ooh, this is so good. I'm so excited about this, the main event. On the other hand, so two things are certain. Well, three things are certain. First of all, this will be the main event for night one. The second thing is, no women will be main eventing WrestleMania. And the third one is, this year's Royal Rumble winner will not be main eventing WrestleMania, either of them. Like, this is the thing. Either of the people who won the Royal Rumble will not be main eventing WrestleMania. So it's about time they stop saying that winner goes on to main event WrestleMania. Yeah. About time they stop saying that. And that is it about SmackDown.
Okay.
Yes. So Raw this past week. So before we start, you know, talking about the awesomeness that was Cody Rhodes versus Cena, they had the audacity to bring back Tyler Bate in London.
Those sons of bitches.
And then he lost the match.
Yeah. I knew you would not be a happy camper.
The nerve! I was insulted. I was like, oh! Then he lost his return match. Fucking justice for the new Catch Republic. Also, change that theme, please. It sucks. Because Raw was so good. Raw was an amazing episode. But this is a huge black mark. It has, you know, look, it has a black spot here. Here, see? I hated that. Otherwise, it was so good. Everyone, please laugh at my horrible handwriting. So, it's just, it was so bad. This isn't me crapping on New Day. It's my immense in love for Tyler Bate. That's it.
So, you're basically saying to Triple H, his booking was, this is what you'd want to say to him, like, regarding his booking in this particular case.
I guess that means you need to shut the fuck up. That's what I'd do if I had no army. I would fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
So, you're telling him not to do that again with your guy, Tyler Bate.
Never.
To be booked correctly.
Properly.
Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with Maggie. So, there you go. All right. But anyways, yeah. Let's go back to the Cena and Rhodes promo. My God.
You were incredibly excited to talk about that because you texted me after it.
Yeah. It was good.
No, was during. Fire. During. Yes.
Yeah. It was good. It was probably one of my favorite promos that I've seen in a long time. I loved it. But I always like it when they dig in. I like it when the fourth wall gets broken. You know, I love it. The shot at Vince and TK, like, I mean, it was good. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was like, I make money for billionaire. I'm paraphrasing how he said it, but I make money.
He said, I built empires for billionaires while you steal money from their children.
Yeah. Just like, damn. Like, it, you know, it was good. Like, it was good. I just like that stuff. I've always liked it. I know people lose their freaking mind on social media, and that's for the most part why I don't deal with social media as much as I used to, because people are just crazy. It's not a big deal. It's just got a lot of other things to worry about than somebody mentioning a different company. And it's exciting for me when I see things like that, because that's what I love. I love it when the other companies get brought up. It's just, it makes it interesting. It shows that there is outside world. Like, you know, it's just not like involved in their little circle of life. And we never got that for the longest time with WWE. And now that we get that, it's pretty cool to see. But I loved it. I thought it was good. And it wasn't, I just thought it was a great promo. It made the match more like it, there was always something missing with it, you know, like it felt like there was something missing. And all of a sudden it just, that promo made it feel like a WrestleMania match. And that's really all I have to say. I just think it was one of the best promos that we've seen. And, I loved it.
So the promo itself was really good. We're going to get into it. But the thing is that Cody gave Cena a crossroads after that. And this is the thing I enjoyed most, because finally, like, they've been face to face before. Why isn't Cody kicking Cena's ass for everything that he did to him at Elimination Chamber? Like, yeah, P. Dunne got pinned. Right. Yeah, sure. I
think she's saying, like, the fact that they lost is the problem.
But he lost.
Yeah.
That's what I'm referencing. He lost the match. That's what I'm saying. That was concerning P. Dunne and Tyler Bate. The promo itself, my God, what a slapper. So Cody, he's like, yes, let's get, you know, everything out of the way. You can make fun of my list. You can make fun of my, make fun of Stardust. You can make fun of my tattoo, me getting booed out of the company I built and everything. And Cena said, it's not about where your tattoo, because he said, I have, an arm tattoo on my neck. This is what he said. Yeah. And Cena said, it's not about where your tattoo is, it's what your tattoo is. Cody mentioned that the people chose Cody. And the person who chose Cena was sitting in an office. Yeah. And now he's not there anymore.
Yeah,
and we don't talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And that was so good, because it was such a subtle hint at everything that happened during the last year. And then he said, you're still my hero, but you're a piece of shit. And then Cody Rhodes brought up that as much as he got booed out of the building everywhere that he went before that, no one ever chanted at him, you can't wrestle. And that was ridiculously good, because people don't bring that up as much as I would love them to. Because as someone as over as Cena is, people chanting at you, you can't wrestle, is a big deal for, you know, for a big time wrestler such as Cody Rhodes. And then we got the crossroads. Yes, this is we do have 3 weeks, correct?
Two weeks.
Okay, we have 2 weeks. The way I see it, we get 1 week of promo left, and then the other week they just brawl. It's a classic WrestleMania build. Classic WrestleMania build. This is what I suppose that they're going to do. We have yet seen The Rock, because someone has to make sense of all this. Again, I know, but like, could we just have Cena and The Rock together in the ring explaining stuff? Could we do that? Please, I would like some answers. That's all I'm saying.
Before I forget about it, I was just going to mention this. PW Insider's reporting that Kairi Sane and JD McDonagh are going to be likely cleared soon. So that's good.
So. Oh my God, JD, that gruesome spot that he had on the commentary table. That was really, really bad. So Rhea versus Io Sky happened. It was main eventing this week's Raw. Okay, this was weird. I have so many mixed feelings about this. So Bianca Belair was special guest referee, and we all knew what was going to happen when this was announced. So what happened was Rhea Ripley accidentally hit Bianca Belair, and then Io Sky accidentally dropkicked her Bianca Belair, and then she called for the bell. It's a double DQ, and they all brawled. And of course, we're going to get a triple threat. We all knew that this was where this was heading. But they just couldn't help themselves. Again, we all saw this coming a mile away. But I can't help but think that nonetheless, this match will be an incredible slapper when it comes to a women's match on WrestleMania. I still have no idea who ends up winning the title. I do feel like them continuing Bianca Belair's WrestleMania winning streak is the way to go. But we're going to see where this goes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. At first I was thinking, like, why did they put the title on Io? I don't think she needed it, but they made it make sense somewhat, you know, like she's getting pushed around and she's been perfectly capable of putting both those women in their place type thing. So I know one thing, I'm excited for the match to happen. I'm sure. Very curious though to know if we will see. I find it very odd that we have not seen Jade and Bianca really interact at all. You know, so I'm kind of wondering if we get interaction at WrestleMania between the two. And we'll do our predictions for WrestleMania in 2 weeks. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this match. And before we head out, you wanted to talk a little NXT, correct?
Yes, let's close the show with a bang with a what the fuck was this? So we all love Stephanie McKay, correct? We all love the woman. She's wonderful. She's my favorite on NXT right now. So, of course, she faced Julia in a title versus title match not too long ago. Was it 3 or 2 weeks ago? Because I felt like it was 3 weeks ago. Okay? So Stephanie beat Julia, and she became both North American and NXT Women's Champion. And she was so proud, and she was like, I want to defend both titles on the show. And Ava was like, are you sure? Well, okay, we're going to do that. So they did that last week, and she successfully defended both championships, opening and closing the show. And what happened on the opening on this week's NXT was like, Ava was in the middle of the ring with Stephanie, and she was like, we both decided that Stephanie McKay needs to relinquish the North American Championship. And I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck all the way off and then continue. Because what the... It's just... It could have been it would have been still bad, but way better if Ava was like, I made the decision because you're not a general manager, you're just a wrestler, you're a worker, you work here for me. I make the decision and you need to deal with this. This is the way to do that, especially because this will give Ava a bit of an edge, a heel character, because I do feel like she is the leader of the PC dudes that keep attacking everyone. I do feel like that she's the leader. Not Stax and not Trick Williams, because the PC dudes attacked Trick Williams this week, so Trick Williams is not the leader. And not Stax, although he could be a part of it, but Ava. Ava should be the one, because she's The Rock's daughter. Of course, she's a heel right now. They both need to be. So Stephanie relinquishes the title, And Ava announces that there will be a ladder match at Stand and Deliver, and there will be qualifying matches from this week up until the week of Stand and Deliver for women to qualify for the North American Championship ladder match. And then, if this wasn't enough, two of the women that competed in this match was Claudia Jordan and Roxanne Perez. Why is Roxanne Perez on NXT? What is... Okay, she held the longest time in a Women's Royal Rumble this year. And then she was in the Elimination Chamber. And why is she on my television on a Tuesday night? Wednesday morning, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Why is she... This made zero sense. Like, for with everything awesome that they did on Raw, every week follows an absurd episode of NXT that makes me question my love of wrestling. And then I watch Dynamite and kind of evens things out. But then I have to watch 3 hours worth of SmackDown, and that's always sucky. Rob, I know you didn't watch NXT this week, and I hope for your mental health's sake you do not. But what the fuck was this? Did you know that this happened?
Well, I like I said, I watched clips because I had something going on Tuesday night with the family stuff, and after seeing the results and seeing clips, I was like, well, I don't really need to catch this episode.
No, it was the weirdest thing.
Yeah. So, like, the only thing, like, that stood out in this episode, and maybe somebody else can see it because I already know I don't have the best eyesight, but when we saw Ava come out with, when we saw Ava outside the ring when Trick was getting attacked,
she was smiling.
I was going to say, like, that was the thing that just...
This is why I think that she's the leader of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
She was smiling.
Yeah, that was just my thing. I'm like, well, I hope they just... Like, that was my issue. Like, why would they do that? Like, why would they make her, like, smiling? Like, show her smiling there? Like, I mean, like, why not wait? Why do it? Like, why do it there? Like, that was my biggest thing. Like, you got to do it somewhere else. And it makes sense because when you think about, when I look at it, like, from the standpoint of her, if you go back and watch, like, every week how much crap she deals with,
yeah,
I can see why she does it. So I'm
exactly
kind of like, yeah.
This will be the interesting thing that they can do here. The one interesting thing. Make it happen, please.
They should be back soon from what Sean's been saying. I think Bo was hurt. I could be
they
wrong.
They haven't been clear because Dexter Loomis was initially hurt and then Bo Dallas got hurt.
So they'll be back.
They will be back. I do hope that we get the program between Judgment Day and Wyatt Six before Judgment Day fall apart, because we haven't seen Alexa Bliss in a while since Elimination Chamber, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It shows that. Yeah, man.
Or maybe we saw her once after Elimination. I don't remember anymore.
Did she wrestle like that Monday after? I think she might have, but I could be...
I think she might have, yeah. I'd look, probably, yes. But you guys know what we're talking about.
Yeah. But Maggie, plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twixter, X, or whatever, at Maggie_IK. On Instagram at Maggie.IK. And on Blue Sky at Maggie-IK. Thank you so much. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. Please drop a like on this video. You have no idea how important this is to us. And after you finished watching this show, please drop a comment below. It helps a lot with the algorithm. Thank you to everyone who checks in after with a comment that says, follow the algorithm. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you so much. We appreciate this greatly. Please catch us every Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on this very channel. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked on YouTube. And you can catch me on the True Heel Heat prediction show Before major pay-per-views, I'm always there with some fuckery at hand and everything. Rob, please plug all your crap.
All right, guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fight for Rob. We will see you guys here next week for another episode of Coexisting. I want to say thank you very much, and we will see you next week. Enjoy AEW Dynasty if you watch it. Enjoy SmackDown if you watch it. Just enjoy it. Peace out, homies. See you later. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.